Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Yesterday, when we were leaving the broadcast, we said we would not be on the air Thursday or Friday, but we just couldn't stay away. We wanted to make sure that we shouted out, both Patricia and I, to all of our family and friends that are out there and that have tuned into this ministry. And we know that you have a busy day ahead of you and that there's a lot maybe on the menu that you're involved in, but we thought we would just come to you and inspire you today and bless you today and thank God for this wonderful Thanksgiving day in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the chaos, the turmoil that's going on in the world, and yet family and friends are gathering together. And we just wanted to bless you today and maybe share a few things along the way that maybe you could share at your Thanksgiving dinner table. Only God knows where the conversation will go. And, you know, I heard something very unique, very unusual and special about somebody that is a trainer in how to conduct yourself during a Thanksgiving dinner. Because of the volatile times that we're living in, there's one person that actually advocated having a very special room set aside with snacks and pretzels and whatever for people that wanted to talk about politics. They would actually go into that room and enjoy themselves, and they'd talk about politics. Other rooms had games in them and all that other stuff. And so it gave everybody an opportunity to do what they'd like to do. I thought that was pretty cool. But when it comes to this particular day of giving thanks, we know that history has been rewritten in so many ways. And I want to share with you a wonderful article out of CBN News about the things that we haven't trained or taught our children about. And in this generation, that's dangerous, because if we don't preserve the documents of our history, it can be rewritten easily. And so let's take a look at this. And again, happy Thanksgiving to all of you that are out there in YouTube land and Facebook. See my brother Kevin's out there. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you soon for sure. Kevin is a man of God and a blessing to us here at New Wine Ministries. He's come in and taken the helms. And if you ever go to our YouTube page or our Facebook page over at Omega Radio or New Wine Ministry Facebook page, you'll see that we have videos uploaded there. And Kevin is responsible for getting those videos uploaded. And he is working out of the raw nothingness. It never happened before. And so he's working in this and building it up and making it everything it's going to be. And I think we're going to move into 2020 with some very exciting opportunities to do things really, really good. So good morning to my brother, Kevin. Good morning to everybody else that's out there listening right now. Let me just take a peek and say a few friends that I know, Pastor Ken and Peggy Wagner, and our dear friends in different parts of the country from California, Colorado, South Dakota, and right here in Northwest Arkansas. God bless each one of you as well. So here we go. Plymouth, Massachusetts. Most kids in public schools are no longer being taught what a rich, godly heritage this nation has. God and prayer have been thrown out of their schools, and with it, the knowledge that early settlers made covenant with God, and this allied the country with him. Much of this early heritage started with the Pilgrims in Plymouth, Massachusetts. These fervent religious believers were about so much more than turkeys, big belt buckles, and a Thanksgiving feast. But what made the Pilgrims' toehold in the New World so special and so miraculous has mostly been stripped away from today's public school students. On a recent trip down the East Coast, a group of pastors, interns, and students from Victory Faith Church in Spokane, Washington, came to reclaim that lost education for themselves and their children. Or as Pastor Trevor Seaman put it, quote, getting all of this information, revelation, and the heart of God into the next generation. Well, Victory Faith's senior pastor, Craig Lotz, said of today's young people, and I quote, most of them, if they've been through public school and even a lot in Christian schools, they don't know their history as far as how our nation was founded. Well, like that, Pilgrims didn't just come here to escape religious persecution, but to set up a new type of government. In an age of absolute monarchs who ruled like God, the Pilgrims believed the radical idea that the real God made all humans equal, so no one of them should rule over all the others. Any leaders should be elected by the community and should be servants of the people, not lords over them. Quote, they didn't think there should be this one man that was God over all the people, said McKenna Phillips, a member of Victory Faith's School of Leadership. We're all created in the image of God, and therefore no one is above, no one is below, is how the church's youth ministries director, Trevor Angerman, put it. But Pilgrim reenactor Leo Martin of Plymouth's faith-based Jenny Museum told CBN News this didn't mean the Pilgrims weren't in submission to authority. He said, they had another king, a heavenly king, King Jesus, and that's who they followed, he explained. Martin showed the Victory Faith folks around Plymouth on their recent trip there and discussed what most modern students aren't learning about their country. He said, what you are not learning is that we are a Christian nation founded on Christian principles, Martin said inside his Jenny Museum. And we tell that story. We don't tell it just because I'm a Christian. We tell it because it's a fact. Some today are taught Pilgrims were stern control freaks, clamping their religion down on everyone. The truth, though, is they knew God as the God of liberty, who wanted men free in Christ. Pastor Moni Lotz said of that truth, that actually liberates and brings incredible freedom. Her husband, Craig, added, you could see that liberty from the Bible caused them to live full lives, vibrant lives. But the Pilgrims also understood the only way to stay free was by self-governing, each person following the moral code and virtues laid out in the Bible. We can only have that liberty if we have that self-government, said Phillips. Angerman added, if we don't rule ourselves, somebody's going to rule over us. Well, because people without those morals and virtues need a powerful government to control them to prevent anarchy and lawless chaos breaking out. Martin explained the founding fathers knew this truth well as they formed a national government after the Revolutionary War. He recalled, and I quote, "John Adams said, the Constitution was written for a moral and religious person. It is wholly inadequate for the governance of anybody else." That's why almost all early education was about the guidance and eternal truths in the Bible. We weren't built on secular humanism. We were built on the foundation of God's principles and truth, Seaman insisted. If we've built on the Bible, which I believe is objective truth, then it's truth that doesn't change. It's the truth that doesn't shift. It's the solid rock. When they sailed from England, the pilgrims knew well they could die from the New World's harsh winters or Native Americans' arrows, but they still came. Then half their number, 51 out of 102, died the first winter. They literally put everything on the line for what they believed, Seaman said, and were willing to lose their life, half of them, for future generations. They believed it so much. Few students today are taught that food was so scarce when the pilgrims arrived in a harsh winter, they were each rationed just 5 kernels of corn a day. And 14 of the 18 pilgrim mothers died because they kept giving their meager rations to their children. They gave their lives for the sake of another generation so that we could live in the world we live in today, Pastor Mone said. Well, Pastor Seaman's oldest daughter, Rhema, was radically changed on a previous trip where she learned all this and told her parents, "It's up to me. It's up to our generation to carry the baton, to champion truth, to live, and to be a voice." Martin added, "I have people say to me all the time, I'm just one person. What can I do? One person can't do anything. 51 people started our country. One person can do something." The pilgrims weren't colorless and dour, as some teach, because they believed the joy of the Lord was their strength and they were to be thankful no matter their circumstances. They're famous for Thanksgiving Day, but Martin has a problem identifying that as a specific day. "Which one do I pick?" he asked. The pilgrims thanked God for everything. Wow. Here's a miracle that made them so thankful. But little is taught today of what made them so thankful, of the miracles and moments where God's hand guided and saved. For instance, the pilgrims needed plowed fields their first year because they had no room on the Mayflower to bring plows. Right where they landed were fields plowed by the Pawtucket tribe that had then been wiped out in a plague. That's not what today's students hear about the pilgrims. What's being taught right now is that they stole the land, that they took advantage of the natives, Angerman said. But Martin said the truth is the Indians did not want the land. They would not come back on it because of the plague. And then, of course, God brought them Squanto. Squanto was a friend of nearby Indian chief Massasoit and was declared a special gift from God by the pilgrims, who testified they couldn't have survived without him. He'd learned English in Europe before returning to America on a ship with the famous English explorer Jamestown's captain, John Smith. He became the interpreter between the pilgrims and the Indians, Martin said of Squanto. That was the only way they could communicate. The pilgrims treated the Native Americans as equals and thus made peace with them that lasted 55 years, unlike any other treaty whites made with Indians. When the pilgrims' foreign crops wouldn't grow in Plymouth, Squanto taught them to plant corn and fertilize it with fish from the local river. His God sent presence, made both peace and provision possible for the pilgrims. Another story that we shared was about the rain from heaven. The day that CBN News met up with Martin and the Victory Faith folks, a heavy rain was falling on Plymouth that recalled a much earlier rain that revealed God's hand. A couple of years after the pilgrims landed, they faced losing all their crops because of a severe drought. They held a very public fast and prayer time till God sent a miraculous rain right over them that saved the crops, that led a local chief to Christ along with much of his tribe. Well, incidents and interventions like these are sprinkled throughout America's history, but so little of it is known anymore to the younger generations who desperately need this knowledge if they're to carry the baton into the future so this can remain one nation under God. Wow, what a powerful story, and it is so true. But there is also a little known story about the pilgrims that I want to share with you. And so here it is. This is just a miracle that it happened. It's going to take about 3 minutes. Tune in.
There was no pilgrims held the first Thanksgiving to celebrate surviving their first harsh winter. Another part of history, though, is fairly unknown. As Paul Strand reports from Plymouth, Massachusetts, an even more impressive miracle saved the pilgrims and nearby Indian tribes just 2 years later.
Plymouth, Massachusetts pulls out all the stops for Thanksgiving, a parade filled with historical reenactors, lots of bands, lots of floats, lots of cheer and fun. But it was a much more somber tone on the very first holiday. As Pilgrim reenactor Leo Martin reminds us, that's because pilgrims in 1621 had survived a first tragic winter that killed 51 of their 102 people. And then their first crop after had thrived.
And they thought that they ought to thank God for that. So they had a Thanksgiving.
Martin and his wife run the faith-based Jenny Museum to keep the memory of our pilgrim forefathers' faith alive. He related how the friendly Chief Massasoit brought 99 braves to the first Thanksgiving, which turned into a three-day celebration.
They played games, they shot off guns, they had competitions, and really bonded, which is very important. Because you have to understand that because hunters came here before the pilgrims and captured Indians as slaves, there was a little bit of animosity there.
Then 1623 brought a drought that threatened to wipe out all the crops of Plymouth Plantation and nearby Indian tribes.
Everything wilted. On a Wednesday morning, Governor Bradford turned to his people and he said, "We need to get on our knees and have to ask God what we've done wrong."
The settlers realized their colony, even their lives, were on the line.
And they began to pray. 90 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. 9 in the morning, they started. Noontime, nothing. 2 in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, a little cloud right above the plantation. And by 6 o'clock, it began to rain.
The miracle had begun over the plantation, but now God had to grant a special kind of rain.
And I do not mean the kind of rain we're used to in Plymouth, the nor'easter, where everything gets knocked down, but a soft, gentle rain fell on Plymouth Plantation for 2 weeks, and the crops were saved.
Not only that, as nearby Indian Chief Hobomok watched, this miracle, this saving rain, initiated a huge leap forward in relations with the pilgrims.
And when he saw that happen, he went up to William Bradford and he said, "Billy, I like your God. He saved your crops," and Hobomok became a Christian. And that's when Hobomok built his village right across the river from the pilgrims, 3 years after the pilgrims arrived, so he could be closer to his Christian friends and his Christian God.
Some criticize the pilgrims for not being as lively or actively witnessing as today's evangelicals, but Martin has great respect for these early settlers' Christianity.
People say to me, the pilgrims didn't evangelize. You know what they did? They lived their faith. And when you live your faith, it makes an effect. It had an effect on Hobomok.
Paul Strand, CBN News, reporting from Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Amen, amen. What a beautiful story. And I want to share something with you. I don't know if you caught it this week. And maybe this is one of the things I've been thinking about. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Patricia actually mentioned this a couple of days ago when we first started talking about Thanksgiving. And it is interesting. If you do the math, that it was in 1620 that the pilgrims made landfall in Cape Cod, right? And right now, we're 399 years down the road. I mean, from 1620 to 2020, which is next year, that's 400 years. And that was a very interesting number to us. And I started thinking about that number, and here's what I came up with. In the book of Genesis, chapter 15, we could start it in 11 or verse 12. It says in Genesis 15, verse 12, this is when God is making a covenant with Abraham. He says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. So obviously, this is Abraham's promise, or God's promise to Abraham, that his seed would go into Egypt, and there they would be living for 400 years. It started out really good, but towards the end, when Moses was born and the threat was coming of a people being, you know, too strong and a worse king came to power, well, it was this promise that God made to Abraham that he was going to bring his people out of the house of bondage. And then we read in Galatians, again, where it's talking about this same promise here. And let me just get right to it. In Galatians chapter 4, and here's what we read in Galatians 4. So we have an Old Testament promise of Abraham, and then in Galatians, actually, chapter 3, verse 17. Galatians 3, 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, now that covenant is referring to the covenant that God made with Abraham, it was in Christ, the law, the Torah, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So what happened? And I'm going to tie it into where we are today. It's very interesting. God told Abram that his seed would be in the house or another nation for 400 years. At the end of those 400 years, now he made that covenant 30 years before they went into Egypt. And that's where the 430 years comes in. From the time of the covenant, 30 years later, they go into that house of bondage known as Egypt. They're there for 400 years. At the end of 400 years, God brings them out. And the first thing he does, as they came out in Passover, 50 days later, he brings them to the mountain, and there he gives them his law, his Torah. But that law could not disannul the promise that was made to Abraham, or Abram. Well, where did God take the children of Israel after the 400-year period of time was up? He took them into the wilderness. And what does the Bible say about these last days? As we approach the 400-year mark here in the United States of America, we're going into the wilderness in Revelation chapter 12. Right prior to the great tribulation, the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, the remnant that God has a place prepared for is in the wilderness for 3.5 years. And isn't it interesting that that kind of came up by the Holy Spirit, a little igniting of our thinking, Patricia's particularly, that we are at the 399-year mark. And isn't it even further interesting that the 400th year will be in the year 2020, Thanksgiving 2020? Is there a sign there? Is it possible? Coincidence? I don't believe in coincidence. In coincidences, and I don't know if you do or not, there's no Hebrew word for coincidence, but it's interesting that we're at the 400-year mark right now. A year away. And so I don't know what's going to happen, if there's going to be a coming out of this world system, because the house of bondage's bars are going to get very tight around the world, and God's going to call his people out and go into the wilderness. I'm not sure how that's all going to work, but it's very interesting nonetheless. The numbers of time. It's hard to imagine 399 years ago, the first pilgrims came to this land, and they started, as was said, and I thought, did you catch it? It wasn't just for the escape of what was going on in the European continent. It was to start a government, a fresh governmental structure with Christian principles, that the state would not rule over the people by their whim or their reason or by their rule, but the word of God would be the government in their land. And the officials that were elected would uphold the government of God, the Bible. Today we have officials raised up to, you know, defend the Constitution. Many people say the Constitution of the United States is a biblical or is a has many scriptural references within it. And to uphold it is to and to understand the Constitution, you have to understand the Bible, because it flows out of the Bible. It is the foundation, and the rock upon which we stand or built the nation was on the word of God. The Constitution came out of that, laws and all these different things, protecting our society, affording a beneficial, happy society. And we've gone so far away, so very far away, and that's very sad. But what I would like to do right now on this Thanksgiving Day is to give thanks once again with our little story. Maybe you have something you'd like to share. The number to call is 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. We are broadcasting live in our Thanksgiving skivvies over here. And if you want to tune in to New Wine Ministry TV, we could see each other on the video screen. But maybe there's something you'd like to share about this Thanksgiving. Maybe something, again, you would like to give thanks for. Maybe something that's going on in your world right now that you just want to communicate. Maybe some further preserved documentation about the reality and the origin of what this national holiday is all about, how it began, what the intended purpose was. We've covered that during this week. But I'd love to hear from you today. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. The number again, 818-369-0326. Make sure to press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll bring you immediately into the broadcast, waiting for your call. Is that interesting about the 400 years? Isn't that interesting? Let's take our first call. Coming in from 479-238. This looks like our dear friend Bill is on the road on Thanksgiving, driving out there. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Pastor. I'm thankful for good health. I'm thankful for a beautiful wife that loves me unconditionally. That's a lot right there.
Yes,
and
sir.
I'm thankful for a great church that loves me unconditionally also and keeps me accountable. And when you put all that together, none of this matters. Being out here on the road, when you got all that, it's nothing but a thing, Pastor, nothing but a thing.
Nothing but a thing. And, you know, I just wanted to give a great big salute to you and all the drivers out there that are on the road on this Thanksgiving Day, some of them away from their families and friends and away from the Thanksgiving table, but they're bringing goods to different places throughout the country. And we just want to shout out and say happy Thanksgiving to all the truck drivers that are out there that keep the commerce going, keep all this business and goods and trade and travel going. God bless you and thank you for your service to the nation. All right, so that's what I wanted to say there. Waiting for your call, 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Looking forward to, you know, isn't that really the truth of the matter? I mean, people are laboring and working to keep things going. It's not just about food on their table because they're getting a paycheck for it. The gentleman that just called, Bill, he not only, you know, does what he does all the years that he's done it to receive a benefit, but is a hard worker and does it for every place he goes to. He's doing it for their benefit as well. And he communicates the gospel everywhere he goes. He's talking to truckers all day long. Our grandson, Anthony, is doing a great big trucking service right now. And we were listening to him on XM Radio. Sirius XM Radio last weekend, and he did a phenomenal job talking to truckers all over the country about a truck park that they're putting together. And Bill, who you just heard, was also very intrinsic to that, to share some knowledge and information with grandson Anthony. And so that was very good. Now, where are you today? Praise God. What are you thankful for? 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll make sure to bring you right into the broadcast. Praise the Lord. I wanted to ask Bill, by the way, because he loves to study. You see, he's one of those deep diving into it kind of individuals that I wanted to ask him about that 400 years. So I think I've got opportunity again. Bill, let me ask you, what did you think about the idea that we're 399 years from that first Thanksgiving, and that's when they came here, and, you know, 400 years will be 2020, and that's when the children of Israel went out of Egypt? What do you think? Any connection?
I've never even put the two together, Pastor, until you said that this morning. And as soon as you said it, it got my wheels to spinning, thinking that that's something I want to research or look up. That was extremely interesting. But I can't speak into it because I hadn't researched it. I'd never put it together. So that was awesome that you brought that out this morning.
Yeah, that actually began last week. I think on Monday we were talking about Thanksgiving, and Patricia came on the radio and she said, isn't it interesting that we're just about 400 years away from that? I thought, yes, absolutely. And speaking of Patricia, she's getting ready to join us right now. So again, thank you so much. Bill, I appreciate your time this morning.
All right. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, you too. Boy, he drives in that truck. That truck has all kinds of wonderful noises and everything. Hey, who's this pretty lady? Are you on the air today? Who's this?
Well, I want to thank everybody for even listening in and caring about this program. I want to be thanking God that he gave us opportunity to minister and to pray with those that are in need, especially in the times we're in. And I want to thank Bill, too, because he's been a blessing in many, many ways, and that he would be safe out on that road. God knows the way things are today and the weather change. It could go in any direction. I want to give thanks for our lives, that God gave us a wonderful life. And in everything said and done, I want to give thanks for the pilgrims that came here from Europe. And they came and they settled in. And by bringing their spirits here, they started a wonderful work in the United States of America that is very seldom talked about or brought forth in schools anymore. In fact, the younger kids, they don't know truly what happened in this country in an honest and sincere way. And I want to thank God that they came with their Christian attitude. They left where they were because they were in bondage to religiosity and the government. And so they came to look and seek for freedom, and they found it. I thank God that they were kind and good to the Indians, and the Indians were kind and good to them in return. And therefore, they gathered together with great joy from all the sufferings they endure crossing over to this country. And they all celebrated that they were there. They had freedom in their religion to choose as they desire, to serve God as they wanted, and started a solid foundation. And the Indians were there to be helpful to them, and they gathered together. And in that gathering, they celebrated a wonderful Thanksgiving time. They were thankful to God and to each other. That's what Thanksgiving is truly all about. And it is a wonderful memory. And sadly, it has been lost and not understood anymore as true history. But that's exactly what did happen. And in the time that we are witnessing right now, after the pilgrims came and stationed their life in the United States of America, which it wasn't yet, they brought with them the Holy Spirit, the true Christian walk. And then later, another company came in, a different group. And this group had not the Spirit of God. And as of today, they were divided in one way. This other group wanted America, all of it, all of the different land that was available to get. And warfare broke on for Indians. And what happened then is destruction, hurt, pain. And that foundation was laid. And now today, the two opposite foundations are still at war. Because even though Christianity took over, it lost its way and its purpose within the last 30 years. So I give thanks that we have that purpose. I give thanks that we will have eternal life. And I give thanks for all who understand and know the truth and the truth that sets us free. And I give thanks to our Lord God Almighty for raising me up in a country that was once free and beautiful to experience. I pray you have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving today. And if you don't have family, know that God loves you. He truly loves you. He's there with you. And we pray for you that you will rejoice in everything because it's good. It's still good if you have our Lord.
Well, amen, Patricia. What a great greeting that is to the people. And quite frankly, we just wanted to come on board today and say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We don't want to exhaust our time. We just wanted to say to the people that are out there, we appreciate you and value you. And we hope that through the year we've been intrinsic in getting your heart and mind directed towards the Lord, and the scriptures have become the delight of your heart. And this is our desire for you. We pray that this ministry has been effective. And we give thanks. We truly do give thanks that we could be doing what we're doing. And we're thankful that we've been employed by the King of Glory, and he's called us to do what we're doing. And it's just an opportunity to serve the body of Christ. And the emphasis is on you. You know, the focus is on you. It's about bringing you up and raising you up into all things Christ, and to see the light shine in your countenance, and to see the joy of the Lord in your face, and to see the strength of God through all of your trials. And I think one of the things, Patricia, we could probably really, you know, consider when we read the story of the first Thanksgiving, the first pilgrims that came, who endured that trip across the Atlantic Ocean, and then that severe weather that from, I think it was November, December, January, February of 2021, you know, that severe cold weather, and took out 51 of their people. I mean, out of 102, half their tribe was gone. And yet they endured the affliction. And maybe we need to learn a little bit more. And I made a reference yesterday. I didn't really like the reference, but it was true. How when the Israeli people came out of Egypt, and immediately they were confronted with a problem. They started complaining and murmuring against Moses. You brought us out of there to die in the wilderness and all that stuff. And one of the problems God had with those first pilgrims, if you will, coming out of Egypt, is that they murmured and complained a lot. And he hated that. But you don't find that testimony with the pilgrims, that they went through their trial. They went through their condition. They went through their suffering and affliction, giving glory to God. And that is a testimony worth noting. And it strengthens us. And maybe our generation, we've had the Generation X, we've had Generation, baby boomers, we've had the millennials, and we have all these names for generations. But I really believe our generation, you know, in the last particular generation since Israel became a nation, this 71-year-old generation, we've kind of lost our way in a lot of things. And we have a fading memory about what it's all about. And what a great time to remember one thing and to be thankful for, above all things, is that Jesus Christ died on the cross, suffered greatly for our sins, and that his followers, for 1,600 years down the road, there were people still willing to make a journey to honor him so that their faith would not get locked up in a state religion, and that their government would not be an oppressive government against their beliefs, but they came here for the fresh wind of liberty and spirit. And to know that people, even today, through their faith in Jesus Christ, would want to explore the depths of the glory of God and not sink into mere morbid, organized religious systems and structures, but inwardly a spirit of exploration, adventure, desire to go where no man's gone before. Patricia, I believe you brought it up on Monday, that we're 399 years, and in 2020, it's going to be 400 years. And the Bible talks about 400 years that God told Abraham that his seed would be in bondage, and then they would be brought out into the wilderness. And there is a wilderness right in front of the overcomers. Talk into that.
Yes, there is. There is a wilderness. The woman runs to the wilderness. She flees to the wilderness. That woman is the church, the true church of God. It doesn't just mean Christians. It means the Jewish people that have found Yeshua, a Mashiach, their Savior.
Messiah.
And they too, along with the true church, the overcoming church, the remnant church, will be one man, one new man in this earth. And she, the church, with that combination as one, will find refuge in the wilderness. And God will protect for a time, and time and a half. And this is the wonderful thing that is another experience, as was granted that long ago to Israel, when they were in bondage for 400 years and then released. And so we are released into a new glory spiritually. The latter and former rain has come together and is pouring out the Holy Spirit in a sanctified manner and a pouring out of his glory that we have never, ever experienced before. If you are open and present to receive it, it will be the greatest time the true church of God has ever known. People, be happy and be joyful. When you give thanksgiving today, if you're with your family members, be a true light. Exhort yourself in that manner. Be a radiant light to them because you want them to see the glory and love of God, of Jesus Christ. So they too will be sure to enter in the times we're in. So this is the time to wrap everything up in a most wonderful way and know that God is with us for a truth. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We can do it. Don't ever listen to a doctrine that says that once saved, always saved. We can leave them. And there's many scriptures that say that very thing in the New Testament. But let me say this. Don't leave them. Get in deeper. And let the Spirit and the water of the Word of God flood you. And let the Holy Ghost anointing come upon you. It is time to rise up, be thankful, and we do give thanks for you. We give thanks for the wonderful church we have been given to minister over as pastors. We are a blessed people. And I know if you count your blessings, you'll know that too.
Amen and amen. All right, so we gave Apple time just to say hello. And Patricia, between you and I, you want to come join me here just for a moment? Come sit right next to me. You got to get the little guy out of the way. But I want to definitely we'll get this little guy. Come over here, Max. All right. You can bring every Max into there. Watch out. Watch his tail. There you go. All right, have a seat with me. And we're just going to say thank you again to every come into me closer here. Lean in. All right, so even closer. There we go. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless you.
God bless you.
May peace be with you, and may God fill your heart genuinely with his grace and his mercy today and forever. We've had too many opportunities that we've let slip by. Make today great. Make it a faith-filled day, as my dear friend Billy Stout used to say all the time. And God bless you. And remember, if you're holding on to anything against anybody, let it go. And let the Jew and the Gentile become one new man in the earth, where there is neither Jew or Gentile anymore. Let there be a spiritual union as much as lieth within you. Be at peace with all men. God bless you today. Enjoy. I hope you have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. But we just wanted to say hello today. Final word.
Happy Thanksgiving. God bless you. We love you. We truly love you. We feel your presence even as we sit together here. Even though it's over the airwaves, the Holy Spirit's touch, we feel your presence, and we love you.
Hey, David Ellefson is with us today.
Hey, Dave.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and shalom. We have one of our YouTube watchers. David Ellefson's on there. Who else is watching us on video? Are we a kick or what? Patricia and I, we deem ourselves a real kick right here.
Well, God's the kick.
Talk about stepping out of the boat.
I love him.
So yeah, to you and David and Nicole, God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving to you both. We love you and miss you, dear friends of ours. And to everybody else that's been out there listening, we're going to say shalom. We got a turkey to put in the oven. and some other fun things. Oh, we, of course, Pastor Ken always waits to the very end. Why does he do that,
oh, he
and Peggy?
To be the one to say goodbye.
All right, let's let him say goodbye. Good morning, Pastor Ken and Peggy. How are you today?
Good morning, and happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Praise the Lord. We're here for another Thanksgiving.
Yes. So what's on your heart today, Amen. Pastor?
Oh, I just read something on here, and I thought it was pretty nice. And it says, bless the food before us, the family beside us, and the love between us. I thought that was a really nice little statement.
Yeah, that is a beautiful statement, and thank you for sharing it. All right, so I know you guys have a busy day today and going to go from point A to point B, and you're going to be eating some good meal with some wonderful people, and we wish you the very best, Pastor Ken. Thanks for your service to the body of Christ throughout the years, both you and Peggy. We love you and bless you in the name of Jesus. Happy Thanksgiving.
And all within our Amen. Church, bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. We want to send our personal gratitude to you.
Well, Amen. Thank you much, and I appreciate everything you guys have done for us and for the church, and I just have a blessed day with your family, and let each one be thankful for the things that you've done for them as well.
Oh, should we share our family member with them, our little granddaughter?
You have to do that?
Sure we do. You want to go grab her real quick?
I don't know if she'll cry or not.
Well, it's okay if she cries.
Okay.
Should we do it? What do you think? All right, so we're going to share our little granddaughter with everybody that has come to visit us. And so Patricia's going to see if she can grab the baby. And if she's with her mom or doing anything, we'll just have to wait on that. But we thought, what a great way to share the day. You know, I wanted to say, wanted to shout out also to a friend of ours. And Pastor Ken, I'll leave you on the line here for a moment with it open. Diane Tumanieri, her daughter Lorraine, sent a little hello to us today. And Lorraine, if you're out there, God bless you. And again, I'm seeing David is responding to our text here on the YouTube video. So that's really cool. So a couple of people we want to share with you in the ministry. You need to know this is very important. Let me share for our YouTube visitors. Come on, come over here. Hold on 1 second. We're going to do this. So this is our ministry pet. Now, people need to know something about this little guy. This is Max, and Max is a service dog. And the reason why he's a service dog is because he goes to service 5 days a week. He goes a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. He goes all the time. So there's Maxie, and if Nicole's out there, she's going to say, oh, there he is. Say hello to everybody, Max. All right, so Max is an intrinsic part of our church. He really does, by the way, go to church all the time. He goes with us, and he sits at the front, and he's like a greeter.
A greeter.
And people love seeing him. So here we go. Let me find out. Here's another treasure, and let's see the baby. Let's see the baby. Ah, hello, little baby. If you're on YouTube, you can see little Athena Grace. Who's that? Look, Athena. Oh, who's this? Who's that? Who's this over here? Is that you? Is that you? Oh, yeah. You're made for TV, girl. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So this is Athena Grace. She's 10 months old, and she's my granddaughter. There's the baby, and his granddaughter as well, and my daughter, Danielle. Hi, Danielle. That's not Danielle. That's you. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you. We're so glad that Danielle and the baby are here. Where are you, Danielle? You can't be seen over here. There you are. You're running from the camera. She's so funny. Come over here. Say hello. There you are. Hi. Danielle's all over YouTube. You got to tell your friends to get in there. Hey, Christ Bearer Christopher, happy Thanksgiving, and God bless you, sir. And you're seeing my daughter, Danielle. And her little baby, Athena, there's the smile, little blue eyes. Praise the Lord. Pastor Ken, you can't see that because you're not on YouTube, can you?
No, I wish I could.
Oh, yeah. Well, go back to YouTube at the end of the broadcast, and you'll be able to see. And, Danielle, put your face down here so we can see. You look like, there you go. All right. So we're going to say goodbye, everybody. God bless you. Christ Bearer Christopher, great to hear from you. You guys be blessed. We'll see you Monday right here on The Watchman on Blog Talk Radio, Omega Radio. We're going to continue to broadcast, by the way, on omegaradio.org 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have a super blessed weekend. We'll see you all then. Pastor Ken, thanks for calling in. Shalom, everybody. New Wine Ministry Church, be super blessed. Over and out.